When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network in association with Mother, She Wrote Media. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is Allison Gill of the Mother, She Wrote and Daily Beans podcast, also MSW Media. We have a lot to talk about as the election is 1 week away. But before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, supported by listeners, and it's woman-run. A great big thank you to everybody who supports the show. If you enjoy today's podcast, visit patreon.com/startmeup. Check out all the tiers. I do include a tier with a much shorter intro and no ads. You can hear the free shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and they're followed up by What's Up, a show just for patrons where I talk about anything that comes to mind. It's a little more personal, kind of like my online diary. Visit patreon.com/startmeup, and don't forget, you can find Start Me Up on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever podcasts are found. Now please enjoy my conversation with Allison Gill. Welcome back to the show, Allison.
Hello, thank you. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Okay, I'm so glad that you said you would come on the show today. There's all these things I want to talk to you about. Obviously, we're going to talk about the election, and obviously we're going to talk about Garland and all that stuff. But I want to kind of start with the fact that you and a bunch of other people went to the White House, and I think that's so cool. I don't know if there's stuff, you know, if you can share everything. It's my assumption that they recognize the value in your massive platforms and your, you know, everyone who went are really good at messaging. Can you just share a little bit about that experience? Because we all saw the pictures.
Well, we're all paid CIA operatives. And some of us, you know, are odd. And so, you know, we just, you know, we needed to meet up and go there and pick up our sore money. And have our deep state Taco Tuesday is basically how it went. You know, first of all, thank you for acknowledging that. It was an amazing trip. We called it Twitter prom.
Aww.
And, a bunch of folks that are good with messaging and have big platforms and have a big reach and get a lot of good engagement were invited to the White House for policy briefings, basically.
Wow.
From amazing policy wonks. To, you know, make sure that we know everything that the Biden administration has done and is doing. And, you know, some of the very cool programs that are coming out of, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act, for example, and that we got some information about how Sparks, who makes offshore wind turbines, the big giant steel ones, met with the head of the steelworkers union and like Marty Walsh and Joe Biden and them just sat down and made a decision that all steel used to build offshore wind turbines would be U.S. made union steel, which is greener and cleaner than anything we get in China. And so just stuff like that, just really interesting talking points and policy. And then we got to meet the chief of staff, and he knew who I was, which freaked me out.
Wow.
Ron Klain. Yeah. And I got to meet the second gentleman, Doug Emhoff. It was wonderful.
Well, I'm not surprised he knew who you were. I mean, you have a massive reach, and your tweets are great. I'm not just kissing your ass. I really mean that. I mean, you know, I can kiss your ass, but that's not the point here. The point is there are... Obviously, there's a whole bunch of people who have these huge followings. And I thought that was fucking brilliant of the White House to do that. And, you know, it's an idea that I would have had. And, you know, if I worked in the White House, I would be like, use these people because they have a huge reach. And so they did. And I was really happy to see it. And it was fun to see all of you guys together. And I'm just, you know, so proud to even know you. So there's that. And then, okay, now let's just dive into some of the crazy things that are going on today. One of the things I do want to bring up, and I don't know if you're watching it, but I believe, God, where is it? I think it's on Showtime. There is a documentary about the Lincoln Project. Have you heard about it?
No.
It's fucking fascinating. No matter what you think about them, and I will say, you know, I've seen two, there's five. It's favorable, right? So who, and you know who is the producer? And Fisher Stevens, do you know he used to date Michelle Pfeiffer? He's an actor. But so he's one of the producers. And so they're just following the Lincoln Project in the 2020 election. I highly recommend this. But here's what I wanted to bring up. That this, in episode two, one of the conservative women working at the Lincoln Project was talking about the confirmation and the nomination and confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett. And she was saying, I think we can say now straight up that Roe is in danger. We could lose Roe. And she said, as soon as that happened, as soon as that confirmation happened, she got calls from five or six of her conservative friends who are fiscally conservative, but who are kind of like socially liberal, and they were freaking out. Now, this was in 2020. So, I mean, take that to now where it has been killed. Roe has been killed. And, you know, I mean, I want to hear your thoughts on just this basic, you posted the Politics Girl video that it's not about abortion or the economy, because abortion is part of the economy. And we'll talk about it in a minute. But I'm just wondering, you know, you and I have talked about the decision to kill Roe and how it has engaged, you know, woken up the beast, so to speak. But obviously, you know, you got the young people, you've got a lot of liberal people who are upset about this. But what do you think the impact is going to be from conservative women and this decision?
Well, I think we saw a taste of it in Kansas.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to see it in Michigan and everywhere else that it's, you know, a referendum.
Yeah.
The Constitution will either kill or protect it. And so, yeah, I think that I have a feeling that all the polling is wrong.
Huh. Yeah.
And we are actually going to see quite a huge blue wave, like we did in 2018. The problem is Carville, James Carville in 2018 yeah. screwed us.
Yes, he did.
He came out. And because of the Red Mirage, mm-hmm. Which is now, you know, 50 times worse because we have, you know, COVID and mail-in voting. Right, this was pre-COVID. But there's still, it still takes weeks and weeks to count mm-hmm. ballots, like in California mm-hmm. and in New York. And we didn't, you know, we didn't learn some seats until December.
Yeah.
Who? And so, but he came out and said, well, where's this blue wave? I don't see it. Looks like we're, you know, he kind of made everyone believe there was no huge blue tsunami in 2018, which there was.
Yeah.
And so I think we're going to see something similar. But, you know, not because just democracy is on the ballot, right. But, you know, Roe.
Yes. 100%. Yeah. And that's what Politics Girl was talking about. She, and then fucking Chris Christie, of all people, is explaining to us now that nobody cares about abortion and that the Democrats have completely missed this one. And I just want to smack his fucking face. But beyond that, you know, Politics Girl is talking about how there is this conversation right now. And it's like, well, what is it? Is it abortion or is it the economy? Americans care more about the economy. And then she points out abortion has something to do with the economy, because when people are forced into birth, that changes the whole dynamic. Families who are, you know, barely making ends meet and they have three kids find out that the wife is pregnant and they can't afford it. And now they're forced into childhood and now they can't fucking afford their fourth kid. That changes the dynamic, and it has something to do with the economy. That's just one aspect of it. But I do believe, because we're seeing, you know, Brooklyn Dad Defiant had tweeted out that a lot of the polls, I don't know if it's the majority, but a huge portion of the polls are being funded by Republicans right now, which means that we can't fully trust them. And so with the youth, there's also people complaining that youth isn't coming out, but that there was just a tweet earlier today. I don't think I have it here, but it was just talking about how the youth vote is higher, and it's higher than it was in 2018. So, yeah, I think that I'm going to look for it now. But here it is. It's Victor Shee says, get this, Pennsylvania, 69.2% of young voters are returning their ballots for Democrats. Exactly 2 years ago, that number was, that was in 2020, 51.9%. So this is a big deal. And I'm wondering, too, now I'm with you on this blue wave, and I'm with you that I think the polls are wrong. But do you think that this is going to be like do you think it's because it's a combination of like Republicans either not voting or voting for Democrats because of Roe, young people showing up because of the obvious things like Roe, gun violence and climate? Do you think that it's going to be across the board with all the different groups in the Democratic Party and then even some people in, you know, whether it's the Republican Party or independents? Do you think it's just going to be like, do you think there's one group, I should say, that's going to really blow everybody's mind? Or do you think it's just like a combination of all of us?
If we could just call young women one group, but two groups. The thing is that a lot of men aren't going to vote. Mm-hmm. A lot of men normally don't vote.
Yeah.
And a lot of white dudes are probably not going to vote. Mm-hmm. They really only come out for presidential elections, which sucks because, you know, you'd like to think the allyship is there.
Right.
But the amount of women and young people will make up for the men who sit this one out, and plus a little bit more. And, you know, we already come at it from a deficit because of voter suppression and gerrymandering. Yeah. So it's, you know, we already have ground to make up just to be even. Mm-hmm. And so I think that a huge blue tsunami looks like maybe gaining, my prediction has been gaining 2 House seats and 3 Senate seats. Mm-hmm. And that's a blue tsunami, you know, like
right,
that's
yeah.
Huge turnout.
Right. Yeah, because there are so many things working against us. And mm-hmm. So how confident are you that that's going to happen?
That's just my prediction.
Right.
That's what I think. I've got a couple. I rarely make predictions because, you know, except when Roger Stone got arrested. I knew that one. People love to play the Fantasy Indictment League. But I truly believe we will get 3 Senate seats and 2 House seats.
Oh, wow.
And we'll gain. And I truly believe Donald will be indicted for the documents case sometime around the end of the year. And I truly believe he will be indicted for 1512C2, obstructing an official proceeding, and 371, which is defraud the United States conspiracy.
Yeah.
And I think that'll happen probably in April or May. And I've been saying April or May 2023 since you know, 2021. I've been saying that for a while.
Why that time?
That's the Watergate timeline. I'm just going on the good old Watergate timeline.
Yeah, and I saw you had posted an article from The Hill that the GOP is bracing for indictment after midterms. And so, yeah, I think that I agree with you. I think we're going to see indictments coming, and it's probably not going to be like Wednesday after the election. And we are going to probably also be counting ballots for quite some time. But I do think that's going to happen. And I think actually for all of the people complaining that it didn't happen fast enough or it didn't happen, you know, before the midterms, that it was actually, there were some people out there arguing that if Trump wasn't indicted, that it was going to depress turnout. I actually see it the other way around. And it's not that the DOJ should be thinking this way or anybody. I mean, I think that if Donald Trump were indicted before the election, I actually think that would probably work against Democrats because there might be some independents out there. I mean, obviously nobody's going to like it on, you know, on the red hat side, but when it comes to independence, I think it's, you know, I don't know how they all think. They don't think like I do. And so, you know, I mean, I'm a progressive woman. So I think some people might be easily swayed to say, oh, you know what, this is a political move that they're indicting Trump and fuck that. And lump them in with the Democrats. So I just think that, again, it has nothing to do with the DOJ, just my personal opinion, that waiting until after the election is a better is better for the Democrats. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think DOJ does anything, you know, based on timing. They certainly don't indict 60 days ahead of an election. And I know people like Trump's not on the ballot, but he is the de facto leader and he has endorsed many, many candidates. And an indictment of him would impact the elections. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it could increase Dem turnout, but I agree with you. I think it would decrease Dem turnout. People would be like, well, we're done. We don't need to do any more. Unfortunately, there's just a lot of people who think that way. And, you know, there are a lot of rage peddlers on social media who nothing will ever be good enough. Mm-hmm. When Donald gets indicted, it'll be about time.
Right.
That's or OK, now do Giuliani or, you know.
Exactly.
And they'll continue to say, you know, if for some reason we lose the midterms, they'll blame Merrick Garland.
Right. Oh, of course. Yes. Absolutely.
Look, I told you I was right. My rage was right. Keep clicking. Keep monetizing my social media for me because you hate bells. It sells.
It's so I'm laughing, but it's true. It's actually quite sad and true.
To be fair, I went off on Kendallanian last night on Twitter, but, you know.
I know. Well, let's talk about that because what I can't remember. You didn't say, I don't want to say what I thought you said because it's probably way too crude. But so explain that whole scenario.
He was on MSNBC or NBC saying that, you know, this guy who attacked Pelosi, Paul Pelosi in his home, you know, it's not a assassination attack. It's not, it's just, you know, it's rhetoric and blah, blah, blah. He was really downplaying the seriousness, you know, the political implications and, that this was terrorism. He's like, don't call it terrorism. It's not terrorism. It's just, you know, one guy who hates politics or whatever. Like, it was just, I was like, my God, dude, you were so wrong about the Mueller report and you are so wrong now. And so I put up some pretty angry tweets. And then I was like, you know what? I don't want to be a rage peddler. And I'm also trying to sell a book. So I was like, maybe that doesn't look too good. So I took him down the tweets. I was like, ask Kendallini and like,
well, you were right. So there is that.
But I was so angry that he was downplaying what happened to Paul Pelosi.
I know. Well, and what's happening with the whole, oh my God, what they're doing on the right. I swear to God, I can't even, you know, I was talking to my mom yesterday morning just about what we were seeing from the right. And she said they're morally bankrupt. And I felt like morally bankrupt sounds like we're describing them in a friendly way compared to how they're behaving. I can't even come up with a word. I can't believe what I'm seeing. And fucking Don Jr. retweeting that bullshit costume idea, which was underwear and a hammer. And then, of course, what we're seeing right now, you know, guys showing, you know, there's a bunch of guys standing in front of a house holding hammers, and all the right is just fucking laughing at this. And it makes me think of Chicks on the Right, who I always think of them because they mocked me at the beginning of my, you know, I don't know, my online career because I was in Rock the Slut Vote, and they just had to endlessly mock Rock the Slut Vote. But they often complain that liberals call them mean. Well, yeah, because you are. I just can't even fucking get over this. It's upsetting, and I don't know how to process this as a human being.
No.
I mean, it's just, it's something that I could have never imagined in my life. I don't know. I can't believe it. They're only going to get worse, and I think that anybody who would be willing to laugh at an 82-year-old man who was bludgeoned in the head with a fucking hammer and in the ICU is funny. I got nothing. I got nothing.
It's really, really upsetting.
Yeah.
You know, especially to those of us who are trauma victims.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's like defending Paul Pelosi, you know, for getting hit in the head with a hammer by a guy who confessed to doing it.
Yeah.
It's just like it's that gaslighting. It's that.
Yes. It's endless.
And, you know, there's some really important, disinformation experts out there saying, look, in those 2 days that it took to get a confession and a police report out, the right floods the zone with disinformation. information.
Yeah. Flood the zone with shit. That's what Steve Bannon told them to do. And they're still doing it.
Yeah, oh my that's God. That's the way that they get their conspiracy theories out there. They all have the same message. Mm-hmm. And they do it fast and they do it repetitively.
Yeah.
And they make you feel like an idiot because mm-hmm. you're sad that an 82-year-old guy got hit in the head with a hammer.
Yeah.
It's very, very, you know, I had an abusive marriage mm-hmm. and it's very frustrating to be like, you had a gun
yeah.
on me and you're trying to tell me that I'm, you know, the bad guy or right. whatever. It's
yeah.
like, it's so, wow. it's very triggering. And so I, you know, my heart goes out to everybody who's kind of dealing with that. And yeah. of course to the whole, you know, to the Pelosi family, that's just, it's unbelievable. I'm with you. I like never thought I would see the day.
Yeah. I mean, and they're literally, it's like, I just don't have words because no matter what word you could come up with, morally bankrupt, deplorable, disgusting, toxic, it just doesn't even seem to cover the grotesque behavior that we're seeing from them. And they just keep doubling down on it. And I guess, I mean, it's weird because it's almost like I want them to be as horrible as they can be, because I think that horribleness is going to turn off enough people. And it's really sad that it's come to that. You know, we like to pride ourselves as a nation of being so, you know, above everybody else and so superior, but not so much.
Not anymore.
All right, so we have to take a quick break, but we'll be back after this message. Oh, hey, it's Kimberly, the host of the podcast you're listening to right now. Are you my patron on Patreon? If not, it's really easy to sign up. Just go to patreon.com/startmeup. Check out all the tiers. I do a patrons-only show after every free show, and I talk about whatever. It can get crazy in there. So again, just go to patreon.com/startmeup. Check out the tiers and become my patron today. Thank you. And we're back. All right. So I got to bring it up. Fucking Elon.
I'm so angry. This is another thing I'm mad about. I worked really, really hard.
I know.
For my platform and my verification badge, which mm-hmm. took 10 denials. And I finally got it. And that keeps me safe.
Right. Exactly.
From stalkers and predators and people who would pretend to be me.
Yes.
Get information about me.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people never understood that. They're like, oh, why do you care so much? I'm like, because I feel very unsafe. Mm-hmm. Oh, you can just leave Twitter. No, not really, Brad. But thanks for your input. Why is it always dudes? Okay, so... So now it's like anyone can just get one. You just have to pay for it.
Right.
I'm like, dude, I could have bought it a year ago. I would have.
Right.
Like, it's kind of just discredits all of the important work that people have put in. It feels like I have an intruder in my house.
Yeah. And I mean, I did a thing, a patrons only show today, and I was talking about it there. And this one was a woman. But I had posted yesterday. I mean, initially, the reason the verification was created was so that you could say, oh, that is Julia Roberts. Oh, that is, you know, Robert Acosta, whatever. Because anybody can create a Twitter account or a Facebook account, slap up a picture. And I mean, I told the story that when I first joined Facebook, it was like 2007. I was not internet savvy at all. And I had a crush on Benicio del Toro. So I found him on Facebook and I sent him a friend request. And oh my God, I got this thing that says Benicio del Toro has accepted your friend request. And I'm like, holy shit. And of course it's not Benicio del Toro. And I figured that out pretty quickly. But that was like in 2007. And now I see there are people who create the clone accounts. So like, let's just say they were going to create a Mueller, she wrote. And I don't know how many you have now. I'm coming up on 400,000 followers. But if there is a clone account and they go around, friending or following everyone, people will follow them back and go, oh, Mueller, she wrote followed me. They don't look at the bio. They don't look at how many you have. They just go, oh, Mueller, she wrote followed me. And then they'll follow back. And they don't think about it.
Well, I've got like 9 Keanu Reeves is following me right now.
I know. Me too. And so, but people still fall for it. And the, and if they're going to fall for it, then they're going to send money. They're going to be led in a different direction. They're going to click on links that are, you know, fishing for their data. And so, yeah, it is a protection. And it makes, you know, like, for, you know, Sean Cassidy, who I can't even fucking believe, follows me on Twitter. But I know it's the real Sean Cassidy because of his blue check. And so this woman came on and she was, she said, well, now you guys aren't going to be able to feel all superior to the rest of us. And I was just like, that's a high school mentality. It's not about feeling superior. It's about people who are have a public image want to, you know, basically protect their image and have people know, oh, this I can trust. Because when you fucking get a verification bag, you have to give them your information. You know, your driver's license.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if anybody, anonymous accounts can be verified. I wonder if it's just anybody who just pays him $8 or whatever the fuck.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what that looks like. But, you know, also, I have an abusive ex-husband who tried to kill me, who could pose as me and get my address by asking someone to for it through my account. You know what I mean? Yes. It's like, people don't understand the safety issue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a safety issue. It's protecting, you know, your work and your content. And as you said, I've seen you, we've all seen you work your ass off to build the following you have and to get invited to the White House, to be taken seriously because you have worked really fucking hard and you do a good job. And that should be, it's not about status. And people, I think users make it about status because there's greed and envy. And as I said on my Patrons Only show too, hey man, there's people who have things that I want and I don't have them. I don't get all bitter about it. You know, it's like, well, they have it. I don't. Maybe I'll have it. Maybe I won't. But my life won't end if I don't have it. So who gives it? And if I was still a fucking outside sales rep, I wouldn't give a shit about having a blue check. You know, it's like, who cares?
This is my job.
Yeah, it's your job. And that's the other thing. Like when you said Brad or whoever, you know, like go somewhere else. Well, when this is your job, I don't make money off of Twitter, but I post my shit on Twitter and that's how I grow my business. So I don't have the luxury of just leaving social media. That's where I work. And
it's, yeah, and you know, trying to sell a book.
Yes.
Part of my appeal to publishing houses
is
my very engaged Twitter following and my verification status.
Yes.
And a lot of publishing houses now are now looking at like, well, can we even bank on anyone's Twitter anymore?
Right.
And it's very, very sad. It's you know, I'm going to try the blue sky thing.
But did you see the article that said Jack Dorsey and Elon are working together on that? Or like,
but like, no, there's no, look, every social media platform is going to have something shitty about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Twitter has been, you know, partly owned by the Saudis forever.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook is Russian propaganda and it's got Zuckerberg sitting at the top.
Yeah.
They're all bad, right? So I'm looking for the lesser of the evils, you know?
Yeah. Well, I did join, of course, I joined Counter Social just to check it out. And it's funny because I said I was going to interview today and so many people are like, tell her to come over here. And you know, I will say I'm not a big, huge fan of Counter Social just because of the layout. It's very, busy and slightly confusing, not user friendly. I talked to you a little bit about this before the show, but I've been talking to a guy who is creating a new website as well. Now, I will say, I don't know if that's ever going to take off. I have absolutely no idea where this new site will go. I'm part of it, though. I'm weighing in. I'm getting other people to weigh in on, you know, their experience there and give them feedback for launch. But I think the most important thing is about this Twitter situation. I think we learned with MySpace, you know, like, okay, something that's really popular and everybody is on or a whole bunch of people are, doesn't mean it's going to last forever. And I don't know how it's going to work because it's like everybody in the fucking world who's important is on Twitter. You've got heads of state. You've got all of the, you know, Washington Post. Granted, they are on Facebook too, but it's not the same kind of experience as it is on Twitter. I'm hoping that this new website could be something, even if it's not going to replace Twitter, it would be something where people can go. And the one thing I will say that I know that's different is the guy who created it is not, he's not an oligarch, and he does come from a place of love. And when I say that, I just mean he's not an asshole. Would he become an asshole? I don't know. I would hope not, but I don't think so, because he's old enough now that I think that if he were to find the success, it wouldn't go to his head. I would hope that.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And that's awesome, you know. And I will try other things, but you know, I'm 50 and it took me 5 years to get this.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, I'll go other places and I'll check it out and I'll try things, but it'll never be what I worked to get here, and exactly. I feel like it's already gone.
I know.
So there's a bit of sadness there.
No, I totally am with you. I and the other part is I see celebrities leaving, and none of them that I know, but I mean I know a few celebrities on Twitter. Some of them have been on my show, and you know, if they leave, I'll probably just lose all the contact with them. You know, and it's not that we're best friends, but I've made, you know, associations on Twitter that are basically on Twitter, and if Twitter's gone, yeah. They're gone.
I get to talk to John Cusack and Booger from Revenge of the Nerds and Jane Lynch, you know. So it's very important. Like, I can't explain it, and it shouldn't be. Like, I feel like we had a good run.
I know. I know. That's how I feel. Well, I'm kind of hoping that, you know, there is some... What's the word? How could I say this? I mean, there's something beneficial, I think, from the breakup of something so big. Although, you know, I mean, I will say people have talked about Twitter being a hellscape prior to Musk, and I disagree. It was not. Yes, for some it was, depending on who you were and what you were doing. But for the majority of users, Twitter was fun, and you could hide replies and blocks and you could get along on it. Yes, there's trolls, but they were not ruining my life. And so I think sometimes we have a tendency to be, you know, to exaggerate how bad something might be because it sounds cool. But Twitter really wasn't that bad. It was actually kind of a fun place. And now, I don't know. He is horrible. And I hope that this ruins him. I think I saw somebody say, I hope Twitter is ruined because of Musk. And then the reply was, I hope Musk is ruined because of Twitter. And I'm on the latter because I hope that he is. And I think this will ruin him. Anyway,
and I want to be clear, I'm not leaving the app.
Yeah, me neither.
I am not ceding any ground to the Saudis or disinformation machines or you know, bro dudes that think they're awesome that aren't. I'm not leaving. And you know, we all lost a couple thousand followers, I think. But I've got them back and more, and I'm back on the upside again. So
that's good. I lost about 1,000.
It'll see. You know, I'm not leaving. I'm just going to put it that way. But I don't also fault people for wanting to.
Yeah.
But you know, I would recommend we all stay because I feel like he and the Saudis bought Twitter to destroy it ahead of an election. Honestly.
Yeah, and you know, I just want to take every Tim Wise. I tweeted this out so you can find it on my feed, but and it was quote tweeted by someone else, but Tim Rice wrote this amazing thread. He says, as people flee Twitter or threaten to in response to Elon's takeover, he basically goes on and he talks about black Twitter, and he talks about how white people are crying and insisting it's so hard. And there he's got this whole story, but he's saying it's white people who are leaving. If black people left Twitter, I think Twitter would just die. But his whole point here is like black people don't cry and leave. They stay and fight. And they're used to it. They don't have the luxury of just throwing their hands in the air and going, it's too hard. And he's right. I love this thread. It's a fantastic thread. And everybody should fucking read it. So again, you can find it on my feed. I don't know how many things I'm going to tweet before this thing is aired, but it will be on my feed. It's Tim Wise, fucking great thread. But anyway, I know you have to go. Allison, I adore you, and I'm so grateful you were on the show today, and I hope you're right about your prediction. So
I hope I am too, and I'm not going to take that tweet down if I'm wrong. I'll just admit I was wrong.
Yeah.
because I'm not nine. like Elon taking down his tweet. Maybe there's more to this Pelosi story.
Fuck him.
Really?
God.
I guess if by more you mean more criminal charges based on his confession, then yes.
Yeah. Wow. All right, cool. Well, then, as I usually ask you, tell everyone where to find you.
On Twitter. at Mueller, she wrote. You can also check out our wonderful, amazing podcast network, mswmedia.com. And I'm also at Allison Gill on Twitter and at the Daily Beans Pod. Awesome. Daily Beans Pod on Twitter.
Yes, Daily Beans Pod. And then, obviously, I'm author Kimberly on Twitter, K-I-M-B-E-R-L-E-Y. And actually, I joined Counter Social, and I'm just Kimberly Johnson over there. So my books are on Amazon. Allison, thank you so much. And I don't know. Let's win.
Yes, let's.
All right, you take care.